All is good on this Easter Sunday as the Sixers pick up win number 40. Duke loses in the tournament. We're all happy on this Sunday. Welcome, everybody, to the PHLY Sixers postgame show. Derek Bodner, Kyle Newbeck, I'm Devon Givens. Brianna's producing, and all of you who were in with us during our watch-along, we thank you. We welcome you back into this side of things as we now break the game down a little bit more during this time, because they picked up a much-needed win after snapping a three-game losing streak. A couple of games where we felt like they actually should have won a few more games there during that three-game losing streak, and yet here we are right now discussing a win over the bad Raptors, but that's where the Sixers were. You play who's in front of you. They did. They took care of business, and now eight games left on the season. They needed this one, Kyle. They got it done.
Yeah, and got it done in... I'm not sure any of us would have sat here and predicted, one, a Kelly Oubre 30-plus point game, two, and probably more importantly, a record-setting three-point shooting performance on the road. Like, we can sit here and say the Raptors stink and it doesn't mean all that much, all that. The Sixers were down their two best players. Yep. They're two guys that create shots for everybody else, that make life easier, that draw attention away from people. And even if we discount it somewhat because of the opponent, they've had a lot of games against a lot of crappy teams over a long period of time, and they never had a shooting performance like the one they had today. So, look, credit to these guys for not looking down at the Raptors the way they could have, because there are a lot of veterans who are in the deep part of the season where guys are taking nights off and looking ahead toward the playoffs. Good job by Nick Nurse to have these guys ready coming in. And look, we're going to find a lot of creative ways to say they shot the piss out of the ball, because that's what they did.
Yep.
Campaign, Nick Batum, Kelly Oubre, Tobias, who struggled early on, only ended up making one, at least took one late in the game, right? Like, that was an important thing.
Yep.
Buddy Hield had a good night, 3 for 5 from three. So spread across a handful of guys, they managed to come together to set a franchise record. And frankly, if they don't shoot like that, they probably don't win. The defense was not great, and they didn't have their best outing against the Toronto team. They really should have pounded with that sort of offensive performance. But listen, it's nice to watch them make shots rather than miss shots after 2 months of watching them absolutely sputter through on offense for most of games.
Well, to your point, since Joel Embiid went down at the end of January, they were 21st in the league in made threes per game, 23rd in three-point percentage at 35%. Honestly, both of those numbers surprised me. I thought they would be even worse than that. But yeah, it might be against the Raptors. But it's not like that's the only bad team they've ever played. To come out and shoot, what?
55.
24 for 43 from three-point range is freaking wild. Yep. It is freaking wild.
Yeah, and that's what you guys talk about a lot. I mean, we all like threes, but I know you guys talk about it the most in discussing how big that is, of course, in today's game. And for them to try to keep pace with the other teams in the league with the way they shoot, that's how you help yourself win. And to do that, again, without Embiid, who creates the space for the guys to take the shots and make them from the perimeter, and Maxey doing both, making them and creating the opportunities for others.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Kyle was talking about creating shots, but Maxey makes a lot of them too. Usually when they have a big night.
Yeah, so we're talking about the two things that he does to help the team out in doing that. And the Sixers got off some really good ones. And they also did not do so where we're looking at a lot of, tough shots. We saw a few where Tobias gives the ball to Campaign. He has to fire off for three. Okay, cool. But most of them were because of ball movement and finding the open man in the corner, around the wing, whatever it was, and pulling up in transition to knock down the threes that they had available to them and making them. And Kelly Oubre was the one that really got all of that going in that first quarter, where he made his first two and drove to the basket that helped him out and opened things up, allowing him to drive and finish at the cup. And then they just started to keep going, spreading that lead. And as that lead spread, sure, the Raptors made the run. The Sixers responded and came back, and you saw so many others just firing them off. And to get six threes from Campaign and Kelly Oubre. I mean, look, we were talking about Campaign was out there for 37 minutes, and it didn't seem like he was out there for 37 minutes like some of the others. And it didn't seem like he made six threes either. He made some that you remember.
I mean, it felt like to me he made six threes, because every shot he put up, to me, it did not. It's going in.
Yeah, so this was... This one was pretty good. So as Phil says, Devon, was Oubre efficient enough? 10 for 22?
Phil loves to.
Yes.
We praise Kelly when he plays well. This was an awesome, awesome Kelly game. And if you were watching the live stream, you would have seen us talk about this, Phil. I don't know if you popped in at all during the live stream. Thank you to everybody who showed up for it. What we said a lot during the stream was, this is like the final level for Kelly, is hitting shots, because everything else that we have wanted from him. I did see real time as well was saying, Oubre beating the Kyle/Derek.
The difference is when real time does it, I think he's just having fun. No, Phil wants us to sit up here and say we know nothing about basketball and we're wrong about
Kelly. We've said quite a bit recently. I know I have. I know you two certainly have. Kelly is not only doing the things that he's good at, he's doing the things that he historically has struggled to do for whatever reason, whether it's reading the game, whether it's just having too much tunnel vision, wanting to hunt his own shot, having too much confidence in himself at times, whatever it is. We've been praising him consistently for defensive effort, praising him consistently for passes and making correct reads. And I think we saw more of that tonight. There are a lot of extra passes and, hey, I'm going to hit this guy on a drop off or swing type situations. Like, Kelly is doing that more often. It's something that he's talked about in press conferences that he's gone over with the coaching staff, who are saying, hey, Kelly, look, you create a lot. You draw attention as a scorer. Your drives are impactful. Now look at what they could do for other people. And as I've said repeatedly on the show, I give Kelly credit for internalizing what they've said to him and actually carrying that out on the court. Because it's one thing, right, to go over film and see, oh, hey, this guy is open. And it's another thing to change the way you're playing. It's another thing to actually make those passes. And so Kelly has done that. Kelly has been a more engaged defensive player. I think his hands have been active. I think he's been better off the ball. And then tonight, as I said, this is the final level. Like, Kelly has struggled to make threes for the better part of this entire season, frankly.
And since most of his career.
Yeah, and since he came back from the bicycle incident, we'll call it, he has not shot the ball well from deep. He's done a lot of other things well, but not that. Well, when he hits threes like this, he just becomes an absolute bear to guard, because if he doesn't make threes, you just sell out to stop the drive. You sag off him and say, we're okay living with that. If he hits some threes, he's already a dangerous enough slasher and he's doing the playmaking stuff, that he becomes a super valuable offensive player. So I'm not expecting him to shoot like he did tonight, right, where he's hitting logo threes to end quarters and things like that. But
I forgot about
when he hits enough threes just to keep the defense honest.
Yeah.
That is a world of difference for him specifically.
The one play that sticks out to me, and it's a stupid, mundane play, but when he catches the ball on the wing and he has that contested three-pointer with 15 left on the shot clock, and he makes that simple swing pass over to Tobias for an open corner three. Was it Tobias?
Mm-hmm. I believe it was Tobias.
I think Tobias missed it by a lot, but it doesn't matter. The pass
the
was
play,
great.
I don't care
when
about
the
shot.
When he's making those kinds of passes, that is a version of Kelly that you can buy into easy. And it's one thing to say, yeah, he made a bunch of threes, yada, 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 got the free throw line. Those plays, those decisions, that is how you change the narrative of your career. And I get it. If you're someone like Phil, who maybe he's believed in Kelly for a long time.
He has.
You want to get up here and tell us how stupid we are. That's fine. But really, the key is there were 30 NBA GMs who over the summer said, this guy isn't worth more than a max contract. The key for me...
Minimum contract, you mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's also not worth more than a max contract, but they specifically said that he wasn't worth more than a minimum contract. Two things. One, I don't think all of them were wrong, too. It's because of plays like this where he's not making that extra pass, where he's not making that swing pass, where he is inefficient throughout the course of his career because the three-pointer's not going in and because the shot quality is low enough. But two, if he has grown, and look, my bar of if is always higher. Like, I need to see a large sample size to truly be convinced. We're talking a little bit about shooting variance and how you can react to that too quickly during the live stream. But I have a pretty high bar to change my prior evaluation. That being said, if he has turned a corner and figured things out, how about give him credit? Because I don't think we in our evaluations were wrong of who he was coming into the season. I don't think NBA GMs were wrong of who he was coming into the season. If he has bought in and he's making that extra pass and he's making that more committed defensive presence, give him credit. Great job, Kelly. I love success stories. I 100%. Love players redefining who they are 20, you know, when they're 27 years old. And that's what I'll say too. Like, I think, you know, because Kyle and I were pretty critical of his game, they think that we have something against Kelly. No, Kelly seems like a great guy, and he seems like a good guy to have in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy to get along with. I just don't like some of the decisions he makes. So if he turns around those decisions, good on him. And tonight he was on fire.
And the important thing, you brought up that extra pass. The important thing to me is not that he made that one. It's that he's consistently been making that for, I want to say, like a few weeks now. Like this is a sustained run of play. This is not a one-off like, oh, Kelly made some nice passes. He has been making good reads for a while. This is, and for it to come after he has had these talks with Nick, with members of the coaching staff, with frankly his teammates, to get for that to get through to him. Again, it's always one thing to hear it, right? And to have the conversations. You guys at home probably have plenty of people in your life who might be still with you in your life, or maybe you push them aside in your life who you had conversations with, you thought you identified problems, and then they did the same stupid, dumb shit that they've always done. Kelly deserves an abundance of credit for, look, all the narratives existed about him for good reason. As Derek said, he was a minimum guy coming into the year for a reason. For long stretches of this year, he has worked and put in actual sweat equity and played in a way to try to dispel some of that stuff so that somebody, whether it's the Sixers, whether it's another team this summer, is going to give him a bigger chance, a bigger contract, a bigger opportunity. And he 100% deserves credit for putting himself in a position where the Sixers are probably now going to be in a tough spot this summer. Like there are a lot of people around here who want Kelly back, and I think for good reason. And the big remaining question to me is, well, what do you get out of Kelly with Joel, right? Like, do you get the proper restraint, or are you still living with kind of the wild act of Kelly sometimes? But look, absolutely no complaints about him tonight or really at all recently. I think, as I keep saying about him as well, I love that he just comes with the same approach and mentality every night. Sometimes that means you have to live with a 4-for-17 or just an inefficient half or whatever it is. But I like that he might miss 6 in a row, but that 7th shot, he's putting it up because he believes in himself. Those are the type of players that can win you playoff games as role players.
If you look at what he's done, and we talk about the good things, and he'll sprinkle in those bad ones, these bad games, Cleveland being one of them the other night. But he bounces back in this when he comes back and he has this type of performance. And this is the type of performance as I was at home and watching these guys before the season started and their assessment of Kelly Oubre. And then when the game started, he was rolling. They had four players averaging 20 points at the beginning of the season. He was one of them. And of course, the accident happens. He comes back and he really didn't get back to that place. He would have those games that sporadically showed up in the good way. And now over this stretch where Maxey's been out for four games at one point, Tobias Harris misses a couple of games because he's dealing with the flu and some other things. And Embiid obviously out for as long as he has been out, but he healed cold. Oubre off the bench, healed starting. Now they swap roles. Lowry comes in, campaign, all of these changes. And the one thing that we have seen, though, as guys have, again, been in and out of the lineup, is he has been consistent with his play. Same type of play. It's just a matter of what the results are going to be. So now when you look at it, with now after tonight, 7 games left on the season, and hopefully Embiid coming back over these next 7 games at some point, Maxey getting back after missing tonight with the hip, and you wonder, is this going to be the same thing that you saw in the beginning? That disappeared in that middle. And when you do get these guys back for this stretch run here for these final regular season games and then go into the play-in game and then the postseason, can you get this same type of Kelly Oubre? Yes, he's going to make those mistakes, but you know who he's going to be passing to now also? It's not going to be Mo Bamba or Paul Reed. It's going to be Joel Embiid who's out there. Yes, sometimes it will be those other two, but now he's going to have Embiid potentially out there with him to make those passes too, to feel better about it. And you know who's also going to hit him on those cutting across the baseline? Joel Embiid is going to not hesitate and make that pass.
We saw
pass.
A ton of that.
Exactly.
Early in the season.
So those you know, backdoor cuts that he's going to get along that baseline or slashing in the middle when that double team is on the strong side and he's coming weak side to find that empty spot in that defense, he's going to be the beneficiary of it because sometimes others are not going to be the ones that they may trust as much. But he has been phenomenal in that decision making. Now the 3-point shooting is there. You just have to put it together. It doesn't have to be in form of 32 points. Sure, one in a series or whatever, or these games down the stretch, but just the ability to do what everybody in the league knows he can do, score the basketball. You add that on with that playmaking, and then he's a tough, tough cover, and that makes them that much more difficult to defend in a half-court set and even in transition when they're running the floor.
And by the way, when you say, you know, he's a proven scorer, it's true, but he also needs to be efficient. And that goes back to what Kyle was talking about
that's
the playmaking.
That's what Phil asked, yeah.
About the playmaking. Well, historically, he has been very inefficient, and he has been, frankly, inefficient for most of the last couple of months without Embiid. But what Kyle goes back to when he's talking about the playmaking, and I think this might be the best playmaking stretch of Kelly Oubre's career. I'd have to go back through and go through the game log, but it feels pretty confident that it's true. Part of playmaking isn't just making a play for your others. It's also getting yourself out of bad shots. And too often he will force things where a dump off pass or a kick out pass was the better option. That impacts not only your assist totals, but also your field goal percentage and your efficiency. So if he is making better decisions with the ball, if he is driving the rim with his head up, if he has, you know, real good vision, or at least better vision than he has historically throughout the career, it'll make him a more efficient player and it'll create opportunities for his teammates. Again, the shooting's great. How many threes did he make on the night? It was six of 11. You don't expect that every night. Would like for him to make 35 to 40% of his open catch and shoot threes. Not all of his threes, but open catch and shoot, you need to be in that 35 to 40 play alongside of Embiid. Outside of that, the key to me isn't, like, he's not going to drop 32 all that often. I don't even need him to do it once in a playoff series. I just need him to make good decisions with the ball to keep his individual efficiency up and to keep the ball moving for his teammates.
And Coach Lowell Ricketts points out again, Oubre's defensive effort has been great.
Throughout the year, like, beginning was great. Last month or so has been great. There's maybe a little dip in, like, maybe January and February.
And I think, and that wasn't just him, too. That was the whole team went through a long stretch. So,
but for the most part, throughout the year, I think it's been a positive more often than I expected.
For sure.
Yeah, two nice strips tonight. That one at half court, Gary Trent, he plucked him at half court, went for the dunk, and then he had another good one a little bit later. So the defensive effort has certainly been there for sure for Kelly Oubre. Need this type of performance, and hopefully they can get that going forward and into the playoffs. And if you're looking for more performance from some good people, you go ahead and check out one particular place.
We want to make sure we tell you about a new sponsor here, Trumark Financial. Heard from some people recently who joined Trumark Financial Credit Union right here in Philly, and it's been eye-opening to see the difference between banking at a bank compared to becoming a member of a credit union. When you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. Trumark Financial has better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options overall, and of course the same digital tools and technology we all want. But the best part for me is that Trumark Financial is local. They're headquartered in Fort Washington, and with 24 branches across the Philly area, they are deeply rooted in our community. They serve our community and only our community, so their investors and programs help our people right here at home. Becoming a member of a credit union has so many benefits over being a customer at a bank. It's a total no-brainer for me. Head over to Trumark.com/PHLY to learn more or find a branch near you. That's Trumark.com/PHLY, federally insured by the NCUA.
And guys, I have to tell you about another good friend of ours. We talked about them a while back. They've now come back to the forefront. Our friends at Olipop. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. What a combination that is. Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide. Here's the important part, including the most recent launch at all Wawa stores. You can get a classic root beer or a strawberry vanilla at a Wawa near you. I actually just had a strawberry vanilla earlier tonight. It was delicious. I've been a big soda drinker at times in my life. I ended up quitting for quite a while from soda to protect my health, to feel better as we work weird hours, our diets get screwy. I drop soda, but Olipop allows me to get what I want from soda, the great taste, without worrying about what it's doing to my body. Olipop is much, much lower in sugar than conventional sodas with those only 2 to 5 grams of sugar. And they come from natural sources. No added sugar. Their vintage cola has just 2 grams of sugar compared to a regular Coca-Cola, which has 39 grams of sugar. That is a giant difference. So you can get great taste and you don't have to compromise and rot your teeth out because of it. They have lots of classic flavors. vintage cola, classic root beer, orange squeeze, classic grape, strawberry vanilla, cream soda, and cherry cola. Even more beyond that, if you use the code PHLY20, you will get 20% off of your next Olipop order. This discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscriptions. Olipop is sold online at drinkolipop.com and at Amazon, and it's available in almost 30,000 retailers, including Wawa, also at Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff. So go check it out today, guys.
And check out our cool fridge behind us.
Oh, yeah. So the lighting is making it weird. It is an Olipop fridge. I can pull some out. Yeah, there you go. See, it's a little clearer there.
Olipop fridge right here. What we have? You have the strawberry, the vintage.
I see cherry vanilla.
Cherry vanilla, tropical punch.
Vintage cola.
Vintage cola in there.
Cherry cola, lemon lime.
Dr. Goodwin, which is, you know, a nice, like a, yeah.
Like a Dr. Pepper, right?
One. Yeah, like that one. So, yeah, absolutely. All right, but Goodwin again. Kelly Oubre playing some really good basketball this evening in Toronto, as they get ready to come back. When we talked about, as if you watched along with us during our watch along, our first PHL
Sixers along with us during our watch along, yep.
We were talking, we were getting on Tobias Harris pretty good in this one because of some of the decisions that he was making, not taking shots, taking early three-pointers, not making them. Maybe that was getting into his head. He ended up with 21. And you talk about Phil efficiency. He was 8-for-13 with 9 rebounds, which they certainly needed that. But he had 21 and 9 boards, hit that last three. Kelly Oubre made that play too, where he was double teamed as he was going towards the baseline. He turned, pivot, found Tobias, and we were wondering if he was going to shoot it. He shot it and made it, and also had a nice putback dunk at the end and hung on the rim a little bit, like, hang there, take this. And, you know, he was feeling himself a little bit, but turned out to have, you know, a pretty good closeout quarter for the Sixers as the Raptors tried to make their little run. Derek, he ended up with 21, and again, we were on him a little bit during the game with how the game was flowing. They needed everything that he gave in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, we weren't on him a little bit. We were on him quite a bit. You know, he missed those first two threes.
We're always on him quite a bit.
we didn't think that he was going to take another one the rest of the game. He did take one. He made it on that play that you talked about.
Yeah.
But he did look like he got a little bit tentative after those early misses. And you pointed out during the game on our watch along, which if you were watching along, you saw the watch along.
The watch along.
I'm just repeating watch along a couple times here.
Can
because that's
stop
Devon's
saying watch along.
The watch along.
But you pointed out during the game that he started to get back into rhythm with the mid range. Yeah. Maybe that portended well to what he would do down the stretch. And he certainly was big. And look, this Raptors team, especially with who they have on the floor, sucks. Like, they really, really suck.
13 in a row.
13 in a row now. They came into the game with a negative 17.5 net rating. Over those previous 12 games, that was the worst in the league by a long shot, by almost 50% more than the second worst team during that stretch. They stink. They stink on offense. They stink on defense. They stink because their bad offense turns into defense. They stink.
They stink.
But, and Tobias has a history of, you know, these teams. He plays well.
Being a bit of a bum slayer, you mean?
But they needed him to step up when he did down the stretch. That was big for sure.
I want to show some real love to Campaign, who, when that trade was made, one, the reaction was negative. Two, even us, we were sitting here saying, well, he's not going to play. Like, Kyle Lowry's going to come, and he's going
to
play that role.
To now, be fair, we thought D'Anthony would re-enter
correct.
The rotation at that point.
Things have changed. One, Buddy was, like, nailed on starter, and then now he's on the bench. Lowry ascended to the starting lineup, so it changed things a little bit. But we had, I would say, relatively low expectations for Cam. He has been a consistent difference-making guy off of the bench, and it has helped that he's having a fantastic three-point shooting season. But you brought up D'Anthony Melton, and this is part of why I wanted to get to Cam. Someone by the name of John Steinbeck on Twitter, so love your books. I'm pretty sure you're dead, but, you know, Of Mice and Men and The Grapes of Wrath are classics, so I'm pretty sure this is not the John Steinbeck, who...
What up, John?
Who died in 1968. But a John Steinbeck tweeted at us through Devon and said, Campaign is a problem for Nick Nurse. If Melton comes back, it's going to be hard to play him over Payne. I don't agree with that. But he also says he's been incredibly productive and more consistent from three than Melton. I do think Campaign presents a challenge for Nurse in that We said it recently. He was not getting many minutes, right? Like he played 4 minutes in, was it the loss to Cleveland? And then the game before that, I think he only, he might have been a DNP in one of the games this week.
Yep.
And you can see when he's in the rotation, he can swing a game quickly for these guys. And I think he's been better as an off-ball guy than maybe I expected. Like, I think Cam is someone who's viewed as you give him the ball and he's going to figure it out, dribbling or pull up from three, try to get to the rim, all that. He's been a decent relocator and guy figuring out spacing around the men in the middle. So he's been a complete breath of fresh air for this team. And I'm not sure how you squeeze them in when they're fully healthy. Well, let's say if they're fully healthy.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're putting the cart before the horse on that one.
Assuming that DeAnthony's going to play at any point this season is probably a stretch at this point. So we'll see. But yeah, Cam is going to have to play at least a decent role on this team in the playoffs because I just think he has that microwave scoring and shooting ability that few guys on this roster have.
And look, he has the experience too with the deep run that they had with the Phoenix Suns where they went to the NBA Finals. He was a big part of that. Chris Paul missed a lot of time because he had a busted up wrist or thumb and Campaign was the starter and they kept winning with he and Devin Booker in the backcourt. They kept, he played a big role in that. So he has that experience. But to have all those ball handlers and to be able to have that, it was part of the reason why the other night when they lost to Cleveland, he played 5 minutes in that Cleveland game. And we were discussing the ball handling.
Yeah.
While they were leading a lot of that game and things really turned at the end to lose by three, down the stretch, we were also discussing the ball handling, and he only had 5 minutes out there on the floor. The game before against the Clippers on Wednesday, he played 4 minutes in that one. So again, it's been sporadic. It's been up and down, not knowing when he's going to be available and ready. But in the starting role here, he logs 38 minutes, gives you 24, only turns the ball over two times, three assists, you know, only three assists. But he didn't hurt you. He helped you more than anything in this one. And as we talked about on the trade deadline day, Patrick Beverley brings a lot of things. But the one thing that Campaign absolutely has over Patrick Beverley is the scoring ability. He can do that. And if he can get going and in a good space, he will put the ball in the bucket. And he's certainly going to be a threat to put the ball in the bucket. And if he can do this, they're going to have to, he's going to have to find a way. In the playoffs, he's going to want to trust people. So
sure.
If he feels like sometimes he can be a little erratic and he's going to turn the ball over and maybe be in bad spots. But it's one thing too, though, again, he knows that the guy has experience. And games like this is what maybe the coaching staff are going to have to go back and look on and say, hey, coach, in this spot, you know, maybe Cam for a few minutes to this 8 minute stretch that we might need right here. This is the guy. He can go off. He can get to the basket with this quickness where Lowry might struggle a little bit with, of course, now at this age.
And I'll say this about Cam too. Like, right. I think Kyle is still far ahead of him in terms of the team defense stuff. I do think Cam has played hard defensively.
Sure. Absolutely.
I think.
Yeah.
He's had issues when it's like he's in a cross match and he's 8 inches shorter than a guy or whatever it is. That's always going to be a problem for him. But the things that he can control, I think Cam has done a very good job of being in the right spots, making the right rotations, and just playing hard.
He competes.
Yeah. And that to the coaching staff, I'm sure they would prefer if Campaign was 6'6", right? And was not going to be a liability. And didn't have the issues with his frame that he does. But that coaching staff, I could guarantee you, go into the film room or just like during a normal watch of a game, see the effort that is there, and they will give him more leniency because they know they're going to get that. I think in many cases, it's easier to work around a guy who's that small, but cares about being good at defense than it is to have maybe someone who's got prototype size, but just doesn't give a shit. I think it's easier to work around a Campaign type than like a James Harden, for example.
Sometimes, but like we've seen it.
It's matchup dependent,
like,
for
like
sure.
JJ, like he can want all he wants and no team defense. Boston's still going to pick him apart and hunt the bozo. The problem is, and we brought this up before, it's not really against any of these individual players. They've just got too many players with similar deficiencies where when you get to a series like Boston, there's just a lot of bozos to pick on. That's why when you're talking about DeAnthony, gosh, that would be a great problem to have because at least that's a defensive-minded guard who can really go up and give you a chance against some of the better perimeter scorers. And then you could pick, all right, do you need sort of the stability of Kyle Lowry, or do you need maybe the scoring burst of campaign? I just hope we get a chance where you can pick which one you want rather than having to rely on both of them, because you're relying on all of Maxey and campaign and Kyle Lowry and Buddy Hield. There's just so many exploitable defenders that it's tough to find the right combination.
I want
to
shout out Dave in the chat who says, I just got the post-game frown from my wife, so this is what you're going to do now. As she leaves the room to go upstairs. Dave, the fact that you are choosing to be with us and making your wife mad, I respect it.
I appreciate it, but I would say maybe
I might say to lean toward your wife over us.
Dave, stay with us.
Even if that's not the professional thing for me to say. Look, we love you, buddy. And tell your wife that we're very sorry for taking your time.
If Joel comes back, you win the play-in game, you're going to have playoff series to worry about. Save the bullets for the playoffs. Yes. Don't take them now. It's only a bullshit game against the Toronto Raptors. I'm not telling you to close your stream, but if you did preserve your marriage, I understand it. I understand.
The marriage is strong. She just said she's going upstairs. That's where it's strong. You know it's strong. She's just mad. She just went upstairs. But the marriage is strong, so we hope everything is okay, especially if you were watching with us and now during this post game as well. So since campaign, as we go into this quick little break here, since campaign has such a good performance, let's just make him the Bagels and Co. Player of the game.
I think Kelly is probably the Bagels and Co. player of the game, but
I'm doing the Bagels and Co. read.
So. All right.
This is Devon's bit. You have no say in this one, Kyle.
All right.
Campaign. Yeah. Yeah. He's
campaigning for campaign. Right,
Kelly Oubre is going to be the choose chill player.
Honestly, that feels like that tracks with Kelly, although maybe not this week of all weeks.
Yeah. So, campaign. You want a bagel, my man. Brooklyn style bagels made right here in Philadelphia. So, you have an opportunity to enjoy that on the flight back to Philadelphia. Huge bagels, biggest bagels in Philadelphia, or our biggest, of course, very large, hence the Brooklyn and New York style bagels that they are talked about. Large variety, usually 15 to 20 different types of bagels to choose from on a daily basis. Seasonal bagels from Bagels & Co. from Valentine's Day to St. Patrick's Day and the next holiday that comes up. Bagels & Co. will have you covered. There are a bunch of locations here in the area, certainly in Florida as well. As we talk about the large cream cheese variety, 30 different flavors of cream cheeses and schmearers and seasonal flavors that go from year round all the way to the specialty ones for the Phillies, of course, for the playoff run that they had. Bagels & Co. coming through big there. The Sixers, maybe during their playoff run, the same deal. The Eagles during the season as well. Have you covered in both Philadelphia and Florida? We were just talking about it a little bit earlier, discussing some of the locations. And one that's upcoming is going to be in Ardmore. I'm going to love that one. That's the one that they will not be able to keep me away from. So I'm looking forward to that. They have affordable prices. And in today's inflationary world, that's key. Debated about raising the prices, but they wanted to make sure that they were an everyday brand, not some high-end place to splurge just on the weekends. Wanted to make sure you came through every single day. They have really good coffee. It's not $7 like Starbucks. Why go to Dunkin' and get a subpar product when you can come to Bagels & Co. and get that more premium product at the same price point? So for the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philly, you can be just like campaign and be the player of the day. Head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you. You might find me and campaign in there.
Well, guys, there are a lot of things that might get you down in life. Day-to-day annoyances, the big stuff. Maybe your wife is mad at you because you're watching the PHLY Sixers podcast on Easter Sunday at 9 o'clock instead of spending time with your family. Instead of getting worked up, getting mad, there's a better way. There's a chiller way. You can walk over to your refrigerator, to your local bar, wherever you can get Coors Light. You can choose chill by reaching for an ice cold beer from the mountains of Colorado. With Coors Light, you know you're getting an ice cold beer because the mountains turn blue on the bottles and cans when they hit that perfect temperature. We have some in our fridge here. I had some in my mini fridge in the Dominican Republic. I saw them pulled out from the pool bar. They always stay ice cold. And you will know, I just love that feeling of you see it coming to you or you go to pull it out of the fridge. You know whether it's cold or not before you even pull it out. You know, sometimes you got to just leave it there for, 5, 10 more minutes, maybe stick it in the freezer for a bit. And then it's at the perfect refreshing temperature as the seasons pass and we get towards summer and it really starts to heat up around here. And Coors Light is also cold layered, cold filtered, cold packaged for a smooth finish. It is mountain cold refreshment. So as I always say, even though the state of Colorado doesn't like me a whole hell of a lot, I can still choose chill with a crisp and refreshing beer. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill, choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYBasketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
So I couldn't say pause during your read. Pull what out at the pool bar?
The beer, a okay. Can of beer. What do you?
I didn't hear.
I don't know how I phrased it, but I didn't think it was that much of a pause moment. But anyway, Kelly Oubre, the choose chill player of the game.
Yes. Coors Light. By the way, Dave's wife, I guess she should be the bagel winner of the night for letting Dave hang out with us because he said he's drinking a beer right now.
Well, Dave, shout out to you and shout out to your wife for sure.
And Winona said, really, Devon? He's going to be sitting in a chair next to you guys in a minute because of him.
Hey, we had Tim on a show. If you get kicked out of the house, come on over. We'll give you a spot to
We've got
talk
pizza.
About the Sixers. Come on.
We've got pizza. We got
it's
couches.
The least we could do after ending your marriage.
Yeah, no question about it.
All right, let's ending the marriage. Let's not go too far. All right. We love you, Mrs. Dave.
Yes, Mrs. Dave. We appreciate you letting Dave kick it with us here tonight. Nick Batum. We talk about guys who, you know, stepped up in a big way. Big shots.
Yes.
Big three-pointers, big rebounds that he had. And
finished a lob, which I almost fell out of my chair
yes,
when that happened.
No, it was a layup. He didn't throw it down, but he still finished it.
Listen,
it was a pass in the air, and he jumped and laid it in. That was a lob. 28 minutes, 7 for 8. He was 5 for 6 from 3 for his 19.6 boards. And 28 minutes, normally when we talk about that, it's the opposite. It's about, I don't know, 5 points maybe. And this guy knocked 19 down there tonight for them. As we talk about Embiid coming back, and he's at his best when Embiid is out there on the floor. You hope, as we speak about Kelly Oubre, the same thing with Hill. Everybody, it just makes things easier. But one we always talk about is Nick Batum with Embiid on the floor.
Yeah, listen, I mean, he spent most of the month of March completely unable to make shots. Derek actually joked during the game, you got to save some of these for when Joel comes back.
It's the ultimate old man thing.
I will take any stretches of good shooting from Nick Batum that they can get. He has looked kind of just lost since Joel went down. It's very clear that he is better off in a situation where he's playing off of Joel rather than either asking him to do too much, or he's been back and forth between starting the bench and who's around him with all the injuries in the lineup. But I think even throughout that, my confidence in him as a role player on this team has been fairly high. He's always been an intelligent, impactful role player, somebody who's been able to be in high-level playoff games and never really look out of place. So It's really just been biding time until Joel gets back to me. But even with that being said, it is very nice to see him get off the schneid, hit some threes, hit a bunch of threes, I should say, and start, you know, gearing up for the playoffs, like really getting into form as the most important part of the year hits.
And yeah, like 5 for 6 tonight from three, great. You don't expect that every night. But he's had now 3 games in a row where he shot the ball pretty well. 3 of 6 from three against Clippers, 2 of 3 against the Cavs, and then, of course, 5 of 6 tonight. 10 of his last 15 have gone in. Before that, over the 11 games before that, he was shooting 29.4% from the field, 18.8% from three over an 11-game stretch. You desperately needed this stretch from him. You need him to get back into some kind of rhythm. Hopefully, if Joel Embiid comes back in the next game or two or sometime this week, he can carry that rhythm straight into the playoffs because he is, to Kyle's point, he's much better with Embiid on the floor, and you do need somebody with that kind of where that you just trust the decision-making, you trust the defensive instincts. He has some size on defense. And if you can make enough shots, that would be a huge addition.
We know he was dealing with that hamstring injury, so seeing him seemingly good now.
He's moving a lot better.
You guys even said, I think Derek even said it, he's just moving better in this particular game. So with that, you also look at him as a veteran who has been in many types of situations where you get to the end of the season like this. he knows his body better than anybody, and he's probably saying maybe, depending on how things are. All right, now is my time to really start to ramp things. Not that he was dogging it or anything, just more of, all right, this is a stretch here where I know I have to pick up my level of play. We're going into the postseason, and I'm going to have to play a big role here. And with that, just starting to knock some shots down. It may not be 5 for 6. It may not be overall 7 for 8. He may not take 8 shots again in the game the rest of these regular season games. But just getting back into a nice little rhythm for himself once everything happens. Because oftentimes when we talk about it, even with him in the starting rotation, remaining in the starting rotation because of his connectivity that he has with everybody out there on the floor, this was really, really good to see from Nick Batum in this particular one, because they needed every bit of it tonight. And when every they went bit. Small too and had KJ Martin at the 5, or even had Nick Batum at the 5, not only tonight, but we've seen him in these last few games also playing that small ball 5, they needed it. And they got it from him. He rewarded them with that, with a big night against this Toronto Raptors team. And again, just getting 6 boards out there for him when they needed it to stop a run, or getting his hands in there defensively to bust up some plays there with 2 steals, the 2 assists. We know he can pass the ball and find that open man. Good performance from him that they just simply need him. They're going to need him in the playoffs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And by the way, the point about the rebounds, I think we think of how Joel changes things for Nico as a shooter and in other ways. One thing I think stood out when they were playing together, when Joel was drawing attention going for rebounds, Batum did an excellent job of using the attention paid to Joel to fly in for a lot of those like tap out rebounds where guys are getting another 3-point opportunity out of that. And so I think that's something that you'll probably see more and more of as, one, he's moving well right now, or moving better than he was coming off of that hamstring issue. But two, and more importantly to me, with Joel there and having to take, you know, 1 or 2 different guys just to stop him from trying to get a rebound. So I think that'll make a big difference for him.
Yep.
Do we have any super chats left, Bree? Or are we got one? Mr. Rudy Pooh.
Fantastic name.
Box score looking good today. Couldn't focus on the actual game with Kyle Lowry and Kelly Oubre sharing the floor. Eye emoji. I don't know if he's like checking out Kyle's endowments, we'll say, or
pause.
Kelly's listen, that's definitely a pause. Or Kelly Oubre's face. He's a handsome man, you know, many people say. So I don't know if that's what was distracting Mr. Rudy Pooh.
But thanks
for being inclusive. We're an inclusive show here, so whatever you watch the game for, by all means, I hope you enjoyed it. But good game for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight, everybody.
Good game for those guys. 7 games left. Thunder next. We're off on Monday, so we won't be back until Tuesday for postgame. Sixers have remaining 4 home and 3 away. Miami will be on Thursday for an opportunity for those two guys to go head-to-head. I think someone said in the chat that they also have the Knicks and the Sixers. So Miami, you know, Sixers can handle their own business, and maybe we'll see what happens with that 7-8 matchup.
Yep.
And if the big fella eventually comes back. But the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday going to be a tough out against Shai Gilgeous in that game.
So quick question before we go, just a prediction. You think Joel plays Tuesday?
I would say yes, because they want to make sure he's also ready for the Heat
for Thursday and not bring him back for the one they really need.
Yeah.
And they do really need that. If they want any chance of catching the Heat and having that playing game at home, they need that win. Losing that game would pretty much end that hope. Yeah, I think that the logic there is sound. I'll go with that.
Yeah, I think we're all in lockstep. So we are not reporting anything.
No.
Just to be clear.
We are looking at a schedule and speculating and maybe, taking into account the
also
video
wish casting a little bit. I want to see Joel play. I want to see what this team
nationally
looks like.
Nationally televised game against OKC, and he makes his return. A nationally televised game, of course. I'm going with that. Restriction, though.
Time to get out of here, gentlemen.
Yeah, you tell Joel Embiid he's only playing 25 minutes. See how that goes.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're going to say minute restriction, but he's going to play more. Yeah.
What is Nick? Nick, throughout the year, has said like minutes consideration or something like that, where it's not a strict restriction, but he will, they're watching his minutes or something like that.
Yeah. All right. I think he's back on Tuesday.
Kyle's giving side eye here, so I'm not sure what he's
saying. I'm saying, is it time to get out of here, gentlemen? Okay.
And Bree.
Thank you, everyone, for spending Easter Sunday with your boys and with Bree, who
she made an appearance.
Everybody got to see Bree.
Bree actually did make an appearance. The deliverer of the food and the person who actually keeps us all together here. So shout out to Bree first and foremost. Also shout out to all our peeps in the chat today. Robin, Aaron.
What up, Aaron?
Winona.
Dona.
My girl Winona. Ash. Welcome back to Ash, who's been bit of a
give us some stats, person. Ash.
We'll put you on a milk carton, Ash.
We need some
that?
Stats, Ash.
I need some more stats. Brian Knight, Bootzilla,
Boots,
Derek Bodner. Who the hell is that?
It's a good guy.
Dave, please go spend some time with your wife.
What up, Dave?
Do
and
not
wife.
Get in trouble. Shout out to Dave. Shout out to Dave's wife as well. Cannoli, what up, Cannoli? Devon Gibbons. Who the hell is that guy?
I don't know.
There is no Tyler. There's only Zuli, one of our favorite names. Anybody, not that we're playing favorites around here. Misremembered 72. We got front running fan base also. Mr. Rudy Pooh, how can I leave you out? Fai Chi, Coach Lowell Ricketts.
What up, Coach?
RKF. We also had, I know, Real Time earlier. Real Time said, Kyle, are you wearing dad jeans at some point? These are Levi 501s, buddy. They're like the most standard jean you can buy walking into a Levi store. So I don't know what to tell you. Let's see. Who else? SB Cole. The R. Kyle Wright. Alex McLeod.
What up, Alex?
Phila fans. Brandon Downer. There were no Downers in here tonight except for you. James Meehan, you will be the last one. Goodbye, everyone.
You said
was
the
great
2 minute warning?
Did I? I did not.
You can't miss out.
He hadn't commented in a while. What am I supposed to do? The Bull RJ's here, too. And shout out to my guy, Al, the 2 minute warning.
What up, Al?
As always. What are you going to say over there, Derek?
I was going to say, that's why you got to take some names down during the early parts of the show, too.
I'm not taking any names. This is just a scroll.
No, I take names. Whenever Devon's doing an ad read, I scroll through it. I jot them all down.
Man, it's weird.
That being said, I missed Al a couple times here of late. I apologize very much.
We are strictly doing it live. If you guys want to see us do it live more often, hit that subscribe button. Yeah. Hit the bell icon so you get notifications each and every time we go live. And if you hit the thumbs up button, I won't forget you next time, Al. I promise you. And I'll try not to forget anybody else. Once again, thank you for being with us on a very special holiday for a lot of people. We are off tomorrow. We will be back Tuesday night.
Big game.
Big game. National TV game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP case game.
Versus who?
Potential. Joel Embiid return game. Not reporting that. Just hoping for it. We will see you then. We're all silly like the mayor.